Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a magic wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the magic wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my magic wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago. Because now there are multiple iterations of the magic wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the magic wand rechargeable, tiny with the magic wand mini, or micro. Micro's really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. Doesn't matter because every time you have sex with someone, it's totally different. Two people come together, it's a whole new jam. And so the past does not matter at all. Unless you have an STD, you should definitely share that. But that's the only past you should be talking about.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. All right, today's show, yes, we're talking about the booty. I'm going to give you some tips and tricks for just starting out with some anal play. You asked for it. I'm going to get into it. I'm also taking your calls. We're going to get a little bit deeper into tantric sex. Why you don't have to share that sex number with your partner. We're talking about Kegel exercises, love versus lust, so many things. And I love this episode because it's actually one of my favorites from a few years ago. And I realized it was one of the first times I took calls from you. And it was so great to talk to you. So you'll hear me say like, oh, wow, this is so fun. And now I've been doing it for a few years, which I love talking to all of you. And also I realize, you know, it's funny you go back and you listen to things. I talk about the G-spot. And as you know, if you've been listening, I don't love it called the G-spot. I think it's more of an area. I think it's about the internal clitoral nerves. And G, that was a guy named Grafenberg. He didn't have a G-spot. Why is it named after Grafenberg? So I just wanted to give you that caveat for the episode. I think you're going to love it. Okay, intentions with Emily for each episode. Join me in setting an intention. I do it. I encourage you to do the same. It could be, I want to learn more about anal sex. I don't even know where to begin. My intention is to give you a few tips to get started with anal play because I get so many questions from you on this subject. And I just want you to be prepared and enjoy it should it come to that. This is by no means every anal tip. We've got a lot of stuff on our website and we'll be doing more podcasts on this subject. All right, enjoy the show. I just want to share some sex in the news and some tips that have been going down lately, okay? So if you've heard the great news, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are engaged. So this is another fun worldwide distraction. I think it's great if you're into it. The royals, they look really happy. My congratulations to them. Here's my concern about it though, you guys. I don't want to put a damper on the whole royal parade here. But in his first interview, Prince Harry said these words. He knew she was the one the first time they met. And I just thought, oh my God, all these women, all these men are like, well, love at first sight. That's what I'm going to look for. I'm going to just, if I don't know it with somebody right away, that's it. This exists. And literally it's like a princess fairy tale. And I think that's sweet and lovely, but it is really not based in reality at all. And I've always said this, it's lust at first sight. But let's not call it love. Okay, but not to worry because lust, you know, could actually be a precursor to love. And there's a study to back me up here. Love at first sight probably isn't a real thing and here's
why?
They did a study with a bunch of people asking them their feelings of attraction to strangers. They asked them about love and intimacy and passion and commitment. And then they had a mark like, oh, I'm experiencing love at first sight. Well, it turns out they did this study and people who declared they felt love at first sight with like someone they saw a picture of or they met briefly, it wasn't reciprocated at all. And it turns out that what we're feeling, and they say in the study, is that it had nothing to do with love at first sight, but it was lust at first sight. We had an attraction to this person. We thought, oh, they're really attractive. I would have sex with them. You know, all this love at first sight stuff, the study shows that it does not resemble passionate love or love at all. It's just lust. So don't lose hope of finding that person because it's not wham, bam. You knew it right away, just like Prince Harry. But let's say you're already in love. So you're in love and you're every night, you're going to bed with your partner. What I've been hearing lately from like literally everybody is they can't sleep. There's so many more sleep issues. I feel like we are a nation obsessed with sleep right now. You know, Arianna Huffington did a great book that came out, I think last year, about sleep. And everyone's just like, you got to sleep. And it's true, you guys. I think that it really is true that if you get enough sleep, you're much more high functioning. And the reason why we are not sleeping is a lot of it has to do with, you know, overexposure to our electronics. We bring them into the bedroom. We're watching the tablets. We're drinking too much caffeine. We have too much anxiety and stress. There's a lot of reasons, but there is a study that says sex before bedtime is the secret for better night sleep, but only if it hits the G-spot or any spot. The research found that 2/3 of people slept better after having sex, but only if it involved an orgasm for both parties, which, hey, let's be honest, it always should. 64% of people said they slept better when sex was with a partner and involved orgasms for all. So you guys, this is great evidence here. Strong evidence that you should substitute that screen time for some more play time and some more sex time. And another study done said that a combination of sex and a good night's sleep had the biggest impact on well-being. And also followed up to say, better sleep is the biggest single contributor to living better. And those who describe themselves as happy were also more likely to be satisfied with their sex lives and vice versa. So yeah, you guys turn off the TVs, leave the phones outside the room and turn each other on. And speaking of turning each other on, okay, finally, sex habits of young people have changed over the past 20 years, study shows. I declared when I started my show in 2005 that anal was the new blowjob. This was 12, almost 13 years ago now. I was like, I don't remember hearing about anal sex that much. I'm not saying people weren't having anal sex, but I don't think that they were having as much as they are now. They weren't even as interested in it because they didn't know it was on the table. Like, do people really have anal sex all the time? I mean, obviously we know there's an anus and there's an option. I think with the rise of porn, we're seeing a lot more anal happening. I think people are like, well, I'm going to get on the anal train. The study found that people aged 16 to 24 who have had vaginal, oral, and anal sex has risen dramatically in the past 2 decades. And in 1991, 1 in 10 people said they tried anal sex. And 10 years later, it's like 6 out of 10 people. So we're having more anal. But again, you guys, with new health habits also comes health risks. And it's the job of all of us educators to keep you informed on how to have, you know, safe and satisfying anal sex. So I just thought I'd leave you here before I get into some calls with a few of my favorite anal tips.
First, people always want to know, why is it so taboo? I just got asked that. And, you know, I think it's because we are told it's only for exiting and there's all these beliefs around it. But let's break some of that down. I think that we get it. You know, why would we do it? It's not even an erogenous zone. That is not true. Some of you are like, oh, well, it's too messy and it's dirty. It's going to be too painful. Yeah, it can be painful if you do it incorrectly and it can be messy. But I'm going to show you how to do it right. It's only for gay men. No, a sex act does not make you gay. What the act that you are doing, it just means that men, depends who you're having sex with. It just might mean you like your anus played with. Some people think it's really unhealthy and it's dangerous. And all these concerns are because we don't have a lot of great information about how to have healthy anal. So here we go. How do you prep for it? How do you get clean? First, make sure that you take a shower and clean your genitals. Use non-irritating soap. You know, it's not necessary to do an enema. People often ask me this, but I do think that if you're really concerned, you can get one at the store and just take out the vinegar that's in there and then replace it with warm water. I mean, but you know, if you've had a really big meal or you're not feeling up to it, it's probably not the night to do it. Safety. Yes, it's important to, you know, use condoms, you know, dental dams, whatever you want to use. You can still get an STD from anal sex. That is true. Also, make sure that you clean your hands and you trim your nails. My next tip, lube. Okay, not you know how I feel about lube. Lube makes any sexual activity that much more pleasurable. But with anal, you definitely need lube. And then you need to reapply the lube because the anal or rectal canal are not self-lubricating like the vagina. Now, yes, you might feel some wetness in the beginning, but it doesn't provide enough wetness or pleasure for penetration. So what lube is best? I mean, I really like silicone lube because it lasts the longest. It can cause some irritation for people, not normally, but you could do, or you could use water-based, but just it's personal preference, but please use lube. I love Pure Lube. It's called PJUR. They make an awesome lube. They make silicone. They make also water-based. They make a lot of lubes. Okay, you want to warm up first. You do not want to go from zero to anal. We carry a lot of tension in our butt. I mean, think about it. So whatever you need to get into it, light candles, take a bath, put on a sensual playlist, pour a glass of wine, you know, maybe just one. And it also helps if you're really aroused. So have an orgasm or two beforehand. It helps you relax. I'm talking a lot for vulva owners here right now in this one, but this also helps for anybody trying anal, right? Can help for vulva owners, though, to maybe have an orgasm or two beforehand, which in turn can relax your sphincter muscles, the entryway into your anus. And even during anal, it's okay to encourage your partner to keep the foreplay going because the more turned on you are, the more enjoyable it's going to be for everybody. Like everything, you want to start off slow. You can even start exploring it on your own. I'm cool with that when you're masturbating and you have a clean, you know, clean fingers and trim nails, you can go for a gander and check it out yourself. And then you could try with a partner. Just make sure that you use lube and go slow. Another important thing about anal sex, don't forget to breathe. Now listen, it's our natural instinct when we're nervous or we're trying something new that we're going to tense up. And that's the opposite of what you should be doing. So deep breathing is going to reduce your anxiety. And then the exhale alleviates all that tension that you have, particularly in the sphincter muscles in your anus. And remember, when you're trying any kind of anal play, you want to communicate. If you want your partner to go slower, tell them to go slower, faster, take a break. That's all okay. So now that we got all the breathing and the lube and the foreplay out of the way, all that stuff, let's talk about fingers. I mean, if you've never had anyone, you know, if you've never felt the sensations, you can just explore and just go slow. Using a lot of lube, you can just use the pad of your finger around the opening. And that can also relax the anus, allowing a finger to kind of go in more comfortably. But you can just slowly, gently push up and down on the opening and just remember to breathe and see how it feels. And then you can slowly put a finger inside and play with pressure and rhythm. And again, just make sure that you warm up because it's always like a slow, deliberate process. And then if that feels good, you can always, you know, move to anal. Now, the reason why I'm talking about fingers is because we tend to rush to penetration and we're not warmed up and we're not ready. And that's why anal gets such a bad rap is because we don't know the main points, which are about breathing, going slow, using lube, being turned on, and communicating. So don't rush the penetration. And then when you do, you know, there's different positions you can try. You could do the with being on top. So if you're on top and it's your first time, this is great because you could, it helps you control the speed and the depth. You could also do missionary, you know, then you just like your legs are lifted up and your partner's going inside of you. You could also do a spooning position. And this way, if you have a vulva or a penis, you can still rub yourself and still make sure that you're turned on. And there's also a lot of great toys you could use. So play with anal play and have fun, be safe, use lube and go slow. All right, so there's some beginner anal. Have fun with it. Let me know if you have questions. I got you. And let's get into your calls now, everyone. I'm excited. If you have a question you want me to answer on the show, that's amazing. We made it really easy to ask a question. Just submit a question from the sexwithemily.com website via the Ask Emily tab. And as always, I love it when you include information that helps me answer your question best, your gender, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. Scott and Denise in their late 40s from Alabama, they're married and they want to connect on a deeper level, not just a wild sex level. Hello, Scott and Denise. I love having a couple here we can talk to. It's fun. Tell me what's going on.
Well, fantastic. Well, we've done pretty much everything sexually that you can possibly think of as a couple. And we're really looking for Denise to have more orgasms, more frequent, because right now the only way she can have those orgasms is because we're in an open marriage. When I tell her of when I go out and sleep with somebody else and surprise her with that while she's having sex with me.
Mm. Okay.
Then she has the types of orgasms like John has explained, the fuck me to God orgasms.
Denise, you got fucked to God?
Yes.
That's amazing.
But only when I tell her about other women I've slept with.
Okay. Wow. Okay, because your fantasy, because you're in your head and you're like, wow, that's really hot. Is that what it is, Denise? Tell me about what's going on there. Because a lot of women might be listening going, that wouldn't turn me on at all, which I understand. And I hear this from men a lot, too. They want to hear about their partner's past sexual exploits. So tell me about it for you, Denise.
I don't know. I find it just really, really attractive that other women find him so attractive. And they find him so attractive, they can't resist him. But I know he's in love with me.
Right.
And he's mine. And I'm special. But I'm not jealous in any way. I love him getting the attention.
Right. Okay, so that's how you're having great orgasms. So I'm wondering if you guys want to, because that's really in your head, like during sex, it's hot, he tells you a story, then it gets, you're hearing the words, and that's really sexy. So if you guys want to have more deeper, like intimate, like you said, you listen to the John Weiland stuff, like, and, you know, exploring tantra and exploring a deeper connection where you sit and you look into each other's eyes and you build your erotic energy together through breath. Denise, that still might turn you on always. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, that's actually amazing that so many people are just like, I wish I knew what turned me on. Like, what could he say? So that's great. But for this next level, I think you're going to find some more texture to this and some more things that could turn you on. And it might just be that deeper connection of looking to each other's eyes, regulating each other's breath, running energy, that you'll start to feel each other's energy, if you will, in each other's bodies, that you could learn to have full body orgasms. There's just a lot more available to you that would be separate,
yeah,
and different.
We want to explore because I don't necessarily want him out there at risk.
Right.
I think there's so many risks on so many different levels, you know, socially, physically, you know, that our family, of course, this is a very, very private thing that we do. So
yeah,
while we're
of
open,
course.
It's extremely private.
I think it could be really exciting to find other ways to get there. And so I think that if you guys are interested in Tantra, like it's speaking to you, then you could probably find some people to teach it to you. I think that you guys could still role play this too. So I think role playing can be really hot. So instead of actually having Scott go out and sleep with these women, if he you guys dress up and apart and like create stories together, maybe, like, I know that you know that it's actually not real, but it's kind of creating scenarios together. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, are there other things that you guys could do that would be along that vein that you guys could play together or role play?
We've done all kinds of things.
Okay, you guys have done it all. It sounds like you're like, we just want, yeah, okay.
And I'm an intellectual, and so I know when he's lying.
Right. Okay, so this, right.
So, I don't get there. I don't get the climax.
Right.
If I had
well,
let
me, I get it.
He's making up the story.
Okay. I think that Tantra, especially because you're an intellectual and you're in your head, like for women, I always say our brain is the largest sex organ. We got to, you know, because once we start thinking thoughts, we're going to get aroused. We're going to get to, you know, we're going to start having sex and be turned on. And so the words and all that is very important. But I think it would also be a great exercise for both of you to get into your bodies more. Because if you're so in your head, you're going to be amazed at, like, when you literally are without thought, but it's your breath and the intimacy and that connection that you're sharing together. I think it'll be next level sex for you guys. And so we've got, oh, Janae. Okay, so she was on our show. She's got a great, she was on a few weeks ago. Did you guys listen to the show with Janae?
Yes, I did. That was the first one I ever heard.
It was the first one you ever heard?
It was the first one I ever heard. I found you a few weeks ago, and I was the first one I ever
Oh, my God. I'm so glad. Welcome to the Sex with Emily family.
Well, thank you.
I love it. Well, okay, so she's got a course, right? Explore Tantra. If you go to her website, it's powerofpleasure.com.
Okay.
And it's for couples. And it's instruction for couples. It says explore Tantra under services, it looks like. And she's got it. You can learn how to honor the divine masculine and feminine, creating a sacred space for lovemaking, the art of conscious touch. And yeah, she's got these intensives. So I would contact her and ask her about it and tell her that you heard it from Sex with Emily. And if that doesn't work, we'll have some other ones. But I feel like this will be so great for you guys. It'll really enhance and deepen your intimacy and your sex life. I love it. What do you think?
I think that's great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let me know how it goes. I mean that when I say that. I actually do want to hear what happens after you guys explore Tantra. Because you're going to be like, what other women? Like, you guys are going to be next level. And I'm excited.
Well, we can't wait. I've already picked up a book and started reading, but it's just a general random book. And so I was looking for more resources, that's for sure. So
an online course will be great for you guys because you could have it once a week. You however it works, you download things, you do a chapter a week, and you guys like work on it together.
That would be so fun.
Yeah.
That would be fun. That'd
I know. So fun. I want to come. Sounds so fun. But I won't because I'll let you guys do that on your own. It's super intimate. Okay. Thank you, Scott and Denise. This is fun talking to you. Oh, you guys, Tantra, I'm way into it. I'm telling you guys, I feel like it is not for everybody, but if you really want to get into your body more, you're feeling disconnected from your partner, from yourself, it's really the cool thing. It's hard for me to even explain it to you until you experience it. I kind of shied away from it because I'm like, I have no time to learn Tantra. Like, I'm very busy. It's so simple, you guys. It's like breath and eye contact is very basic Tantra 101, and I think it can serve a lot of you. Our next caller is John. He's 40 in Austin, and he wants to know if male Kegel exercises increase the size of the penis. Hi, John. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Hi. This is so fun. Okay, so tell me what's going on.
So listening to your podcast, here you bring up, you know, Kegel exercises. For a while there, I thought, you know, it was just kind of like mumbo jumbo. So I downloaded your app.
Right.
Well, you know, so I downloaded your app and you know, and started
Kegel
trying
camp.
It. And,
you downloaded a Kegel camp, right? Exactly. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. And I'm seeing the difference, but, you know, researching it before I downloaded the app and listening to your podcast, I was kept seeing, you know, penis growth and so forth. And then, you know, with the internet, you get kind of inundated with all this male enhancement.
Right.
You know, what is it? Jelking or what?
Yeah, jelking.
Stuff like that kept coming up.
Not off.
And so I was just
judging jelking.
And so with all this stuff out there, I'm just curious. I mean, is it real deal stuff? Is it? Cause,
well, I never talked about the penis growing. So my thing with Kegel exercises are that it really helps men have ejaculatory control. It's really great for the prostate. It could help men, just have better sex because they're controlling it. Your orgasms can become stronger, and it's just really healthy for a lot of men to strengthen the pelvic floor for men and for women. But as far as like penis size and penis growth, like you might see some like temporary, like if you tried one of these supplements, you asked me about the supplements or whatever, like it's a temporary. If you see anything, it's like swelling, but I don't ever advise any of that. I think Kegel exercises are the healthiest way to just kind of have more control and enjoy sex more. What kind of differences were you seeing?
With the Kegel exercises, I noticed a stronger erection.
Yes.
And, you know, better ejaculation, orgasms. But, and that's kind of what I thought. And that's kind of what I wanted to hear is, just, you know, I see the supplements, you know, at the grocery store. So, you know, extreme penis growth and all those. And just didn't know if it's just some sort of marketing ploy.
It's all marketing. I'm so glad you're asking because I think people just like impulse buy, like, hey, bigger penis, I'll try it. You know what I mean? Like, no, none of this stuff works. And the jelking and all those things, it's like, and then, what are they called? Like the jelking or the penis pumps. It's temporary. Like for a second, if you pump a lot of water to your penis, it might like swollen for an hour. But no, none of that is real. The realest thing that you can do is exactly what you're doing is sticking with your Kegels, doing them 5 times, you know, 5 minutes a day or as much as you feel great, you know, a few times a week, you see a difference, right? Your erections are stronger. You're 40 years old. And don't you feel like you have more, like you can kind of shoot it across the room? When you ejaculate, if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Shoot across the room. Don't hit anyone in the eye. But it happens. Yeah. So yeah, that's cool. It's totally working for you. Well, love it.
Is appreciate your time.
Of course. Thank you for listening and welcome to the Sex with Emily world.
All right. Thanks, Emily.
Have a great night. Bye.
Stay with us. After the break, I talked to Chelsea, who found a dildo at her boyfriend's place. Stay tuned.
There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Okay, we've got Chelsea. She's 28 from Canada, and she wants to talk to her boyfriend about a past experience he shared when he was intoxicated, but she's afraid she might embarrass him. Hi, Chelsea.
Hi.
Hi. So good to talk to you. I'm excited to get to the
really
bottom of this.
Cool to talk to you too. This is awesome.
I know, right? Here we are. I'm glad it all worked out. Okay, so tell me everything. Let's unpack this. Let's so everyone can understand what's been going on and we'll figure it out.
Okay. All right. So I recently left a really long-term relationship. And while I was out there doing like my crazy, sexy rebound phase, I like met this really nice guy and it was just supposed to be kind of a one-off and I ended up being in a really nice relationship with him. So anyway, we've been seeing each other for about 4 months and like it's such good sex. It's so great. Like he's really open-minded and he's really kinky and he's really dominant, which I really love. And anyway, so yeah, we've been seeing each other for a while and I'm like I'm at his house like half the time. So I'm all like doing laundry and things like that now when I'm over there. So recently I was like tidying up a few things in his room and I picked up a shirt and I found a dildo in it. And I know he's not seeing anyone else. So I know it's not for that. So I just kind of put a few things together about that. And I think he's into anal stuff, but he won't tell me. Anyway, the other things I noticed, like he told me once when he was really, really drunk that he had sex with a transsexual woman when he was in Thailand.
Oh.
And I asked him a few like questions about it at the time and she had a penis and like they did stuff, right? And it wasn't a prostitute, like it was a woman he like went and picked up at a bar basically. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing I found on his computer, one time I opened it up and he's watching porn with a girl with a strap on.
So, right. Okay. There you go.
Anyway, so, yeah. I kind of put all these things together.
Yeah. Good job. Yeah. Right. Okay. He wants a little anal penetration, we're thinking.
Yeah. I am
pegging.
Thinking that.
Right.
I brought up the thing about the prostitute, or not the prostitute, sorry, the Thai woman to him before. And he was like really cagey about it and really private and like, the thing with his like dildo, he was obviously trying to hide it from me and like I didn't mean to stumble upon it.
Right.
And so he's obviously like really private about this and I just want to find a way to kind of like bridge this gap and let him know that I'm
I
open
get
to it.
Because you are, right? You'd be open to playing with it or would you be open to learning? Oh. Have you ever pegged somebody or have you ever penetrated a man anally?
No, I'm very naive about things.
Right, so. And you guys could learn together, too, because it's a process, you know? But it's like, I think that's cool. And I think that if he knew that you were into it, like, he'd be probably so relieved. But he probably gets cagey about the story about transsexual because he's like, oh, you know, you're going to judge even though you're not. But I think a great way to be like, have you guys talked about your sex life at all? Like, it sounds like you're really open, but have you had a conversation where you're like, is there anything you've been wanting to try conversations or like let's do a bucket list and, you know, you each write down 3 things you want to try? Have you guys?
We've had that conversation. But he like always was like, oh, I don't know. I'm kind of doing everything I want to do. And I'm like, oh, I'm pretty sure that's not true, but I was sure it wasn't true at the time.
Like, right. So maybe like, okay. So I just think that you could come out and just talk to him. Be like, I mean, is there anything that you've been wanting to try?
I'd be willing to try that. I'm pretty much open to anything.
Right.
Anything
I mean, you once, could just let him know and you could just be like, I mean, I feel like most couples, I feel like this is kind of standard. Guys are like, are you into Esta? Like, has he asked you, have you guys done anal sex? Have you had anal sex?
Oh, yeah, we have. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, what about just saying, like, do you like it? What about if you just say to him, like, literally, like, I'd like to play with her. You just try to start touching it one day. Whatever you say. What if you just put your finger down and you start touching it with some lube, like, lightly? Mm. Like, you putting your fingers around it. Like, you don't ever, man with women, woman with man, anyone with anyone, woman with woman, doesn't matter. You slowly touch, you just start to touch around that area with, like, you know, because there's so many nerve endings just on the outside of the anus, like, around the hole. So you could just start grabbing down there one day, like, and not grabbing, sorry, lightly, gently touching and see how he feels. And then if he's like, cool, I mean, I feel like, I mean, you could also say to him, like, I just want to do that. Would you be cool with it? You could just say, I'm interested in exploring that. Or you could just try it.
Yeah, I think I could probably do that. I mean, like, he's never really had like a super long-term relationship before. And I feel like the one he was in wasn't very open to that in the past. So like, last week, he had a ball flick for the first time in his life.
He had a what? His balls licked. Oh my God, you licked his ball. Oh God, you're blowing his mind. Wow. Okay, so he doesn't have a lot of experience with women. People have judged him in the past. He's got shame around seeing the transsexual. You're totally down with it. But I'm telling you, sometimes it takes, you got to tell him five different ways. You know what I mean? Like, you might say it, you show it, he knows you're a cool chick. But until you actually are like, I accept you, I see you, I want to try you, you guys will grow. And you guys will get even closer, because if this is something that he's feeling really vulnerable about and threatened by, if he feels accepted, it'll just make you guys even closer, which you're totally accepting of it. So it has to be like another layer of it, like another way to bring it up again. So I think either just trying it or saying like, I think it'd be really hot. This is so fun. You get to like rock his world. So I think.
Yeah, I should just go for it.
Yeah, like, just go for
it. It's weird sometimes when you're first in a relationship, you like just go for everything. And then as you settle into your routine, you start to like develop these like, I don't know, kind of like walls about stuff because it didn't come up in your crazy days, basically.
Right.
So I should just.
They should never end, though. But that's the thing you have to remember, that your sex life is expansive and constantly evolving and growing. And the people who have the healthiest sex lives and the healthy relationships are the ones who are never like, no, we're done. We got all that crazy stuff out of our way. You're constantly like growing and exploring and trying new things all the time, because that's what's going to keep you together and keep the juice flowing. So that's the good stuff.
Yeah.
So you could just tell him too, hey, I'm really invested in prioritizing our relationship and in our sex life and making it as fun as it can and as interesting. And so here's some things I've been thinking. You know what I mean? I think you just have to be in that state of positivity, maybe not trying to catch him. You don't have to mention the dildo. I bet you eventually he'll just whip it out when you guys get to that place. So I think it's more about giving him space.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think you will. So
okay,
I think, yeah, you're good though. I don't think it's like a whole like deep talk, but just kind of like casually bring up your sex life, and I'm sure it'll just come out and he'll be fine and it'll be
like
the pegging
champion.
Well,
you know, next time we talk about experimenting more and bringing in like another girl or something like that, I'm going to be like, oh, we can just experiment with two of us. Like, don't you want to try any other thing?
Exactly. Exactly. You could even tell them you're listening to this podcast and they talked about pegging. And then I have said this year, or was it last year, I guess, was the year of the pegging. Like pegging was like the new whatever, squirting. I swear to God, in 12 years I've been doing this show, I think in the last year and a half, I've gotten more emails from men, straight men, asking about being pegged and being penetrated than ever before. So I feel like there's a movement, and you're right on top of it, Chelsea. You are the leader.
Well, maybe I'll get him that for Christmas. I'll get him a big strap-on.
Exactly. Oh my God. Go to our website. Have fun. There you go. It's a good stocking stuffer. Dildo with a fixed, you know, strap-on fits right in the stocking.
Just don't do it in front of his
mom. Do it with the parents. Right. Okay. It's your separate stockings. Okay. Thanks, Chelsea.
Yeah. Thanks.
Have a great day.
Great,
of course.
You
too. Thank you for listening. I'm calling in. Bye.
Yeah. Thanks.
The good news, you guys, about sex is that a lot of these things that we're dealing with, we just got to be really honest. We got to talk, and we got to let go of all of our, it's a lifetime process, but letting go of the shame and the worry and the concern we have about what everyone's going to think about us. Because I think that when you're talking to your partner about sex, we all want the same thing, right? We all want to be satisfied and have great sex. We may not want the same kind of things sexually, but learning how to have these conversations, I'm telling you, the more you have them, the easier they become. And you just say it like you're talking about the weather. You know, when I first started my show, it wasn't as easy for me to talk about sex. And now I'm just like, oh, it's sex, right? You guys, I don't know if you'll ever get to this level, 12 years, 5,000 podcasts, but it does get easier. It's not as much of a taboo thing. And you'll open up this real rich way of talking about it with your partner that will seem like totally natural, and you'll both be very satisfied. Okay, our next caller is Angela. She's 26 from California, and she wants to talk about telling your current partner your sex number. Hi, Angela.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. I'm so happy to be talking to you because this is one of my favorite topics. I have a lot of opinions about it and advice. So tell me what's going on.
Sure. So the reason I asked is because one of the last guys I dated, I thought we were getting kind of serious, but he had asked me my number and I told him. And of course, he had only slept with a few people. So I feel like he completely judged me for it. He would always say little comments here and there, kind of insinuating that I was like a slut or been with so many people. And so it kind of set me back thinking like, oh, like, is he telling me straight to my face? Like, or, and other guys just weren't when I told them my number, or just kind of makes me nervous for the future if I ever want to, you know, settle down with someone if they don't think I'm wife material or whatever.
Oh, God. Yeah, I get it, honey. And I got to tell you something. Here's what's going to change your life right now about this concern you're having. You never, ever need to share your number. In fact, I always advise against it. It never helps anybody. It's like, if you ask, you know, women are going to be judged in some way. Like, you're going to see as slutty or not, you know, too much experience, too little experience. Men are seen as players or they're not. And everybody lies about their numbers anyway. And then we get the information from our partner and then we use it against them and we torture ourselves because we really, we can't get that image. For some men, they hear the number and they're like, oh my God, they can't get the image of other penises being inside of you. So she's like, oh my God, all those men in the room. And like, they already, it's almost like they're looking for reasons, men and women, and not consciously, but we're going to use this and we're going to judge. And that's why we ask. So I say, when you get asked this question, you could say, you know what? I found this is not a useful conversation. I'd really like to focus on the sex that we're having right now and how awesome it is. And you just don't answer it. Like, you literally, because it's nobody's business how many you've slept with, because it really, it's a texture of who you are, Angela. It's, you keep sleeping with 50, 100, it doesn't matter. Like, the number does not mean anything unless you're like, I've had a lot of trauma and I haven't enjoyed all the partners and I don't know why I'm having sex and why my number keeps going up. But you're not saying that at all. I don't think you are, right? I mean, do you feel bad? No. If there was no judge, would you care how many you slept with? You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know.
Aren't you proud of them? You had those partners, you had good sex. The reason why people ask typically is because we want to know where we're using it as this guidepost, which is sort of false to how we fit in their eyes. So it's more about our own security. We're like, oh, you know, if your guy's asking, well, like, is she going to think that I'm not good enough in bed? Because he's probably insecure that he has enough partners. So he thinks that you, since you've had 30 partners, are judging him that he's not as good in bed. See what I'm saying? And so for women, they might look at their partner saying, oh, he's been with so many, same thing, and I'm not adequate, or he hasn't been with enough, so he's not going to know. It just doesn't serve. It doesn't matter, because every time you have sex with someone, it's totally different. Two people come together, it's a whole new jam, and you get to learn each other's bodies, and you get to decide like what kind of great sex you have and what it means to you both together as a union. So the past does not matter at all. Unless you have an STD, you should definitely share that. But that's the only past you should be talking about. How does that feel?
I've never thought of that before. So,
okay, really? Yeah, because we think we have to. Like, I know, I seriously think in your 20s, people ask that a lot. I think as you get like in your 30s, people kind of stop asking, I hope. But it doesn't mean that you have to answer it. I used to think under duress, like, you just answer. Like, this is what, it's like, where are you from? Do you have any siblings? How many people you slept with, right? And it just, it's not like that. So, yeah. Check this one off
the
list.
I really appreciate it.
Of course, Angela. Yeah, you got this. Keep doing you. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks.
Bye. Have a great night.
You're welcome.
Bye. Yeah, guys, really, we stop and think before people ask you questions that you don't want to answer. And even if it's about, you hear what I feel about the partners, but even if they're like, how, let me think the things that women have tortured themselves with, like, what was your ex like in bed? Did she give you a lot of blowjobs? And the guy's like, oh, she was the best ever, or she gave me blowjobs every time we had sex. None of this stuff is going to help you in your current relationship. And I know that sometimes we ask, it's like watching a car wreck, right? We're like, I'm going to ask these questions and then I'm going to beat myself up with it and make myself feel bad that my partner's former partner was better than I was. So I just think that, well, we think it's going to serve us, all this past nonsense about what happened in the past typically doesn't help. Now, there are some scenarios that when we're in a healthy, stable relationship where we've been together a while, that talking about the past can actually be really erotic and it can be actually be something that turns it on. Like, tell me about that time you were in a threesome, and that's healthy. That's great. But when you're just meeting somebody and you're using it as a way to make sense of your relationship with your partner and see where you fit in his sexual or her sexual landscape, talk about how you can make that the best ever. We've got Julie. She's 47 from California, and she wants to know if it's possible for birth control pills to affect the G-spot orgasm. Hi, Julie. Thanks for calling in.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for your email, which I read, but I'd love to just kind of unpack it with you so my listeners can understand. Tell me what's going on. Let's just talk about it.
Problem is, when I first had my G-spot, that was my husband like 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was the most amazing thing ever. So we were at it all the time until I got pregnant. And then I had to take the abortion pill, and then I took the birth control pill. And that definitely became a birth control pill because it totally killed my libido. And I almost feel like someone put an anesthetic inside, like you just don't feel anything. And so we just stopped having sex. And he also had anxiety problem because he didn't want that to happen again. So we just didn't do it. And then when we do it, nothing feels right. And even when I talked to a gynecologist about it, she kind of agreed with me. She said that her friend of hers, who's also a doctor, is writing a book about it. And I wish I wrote down his name.
Can I ask you a question, Julie? So are you saying that you were with your husband and you used the abortion pill to not have the morning after pill, or it was abortion pill actually to have it?
It was actual abortion pill.
Right. Okay.
But at the time I didn't know. You just take whatever the doctor tells you. In hindsight, I wish I did not do that. I wish I paid more attention to taking what you put in your body.
No, right.
And I thought that would be easier than having a surgery. I mean, so I just took the easy way out. Right. And now I just feel like I really regret the decision.
So how many years ago was this? Mm-hmm.
And that was 2001.
Okay, so this is a long time ago. And so you're saying since then, you don't feel like you have any sensations when you're having sex? You don't desire sex? Yeah.
Well, now I do. Now I'm single. I'm dating somebody for a year, and my libido is back. My sex is great, except for the G spot.
Oh, okay. I got it. So let's get to that. Okay.
I don't know where it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So have you tried looking for your G spot? I don't think it has anything to do with the pills or hormones that you've taken or anything like that. I really think it has to do with our bodies are always changing, and maybe, you know, you're 47 right now, and I feel like you just got to spend some time finding it again on your own without the pressure of finding it during intercourse. Have you like spent some alone time masturbating and being like, where is that sucker? Let me find it again.
All the time. After like 15 years of being a nun, like of not being interested in it, now I'm absolutely interested in it. So I'm masturbating all the time, and my partner is always looking for it. And when I listen to your GPS episode, and I know where the location is, that little sponge area, but it's nothing's happening. So I keep thinking that, I keep going back to what happened. I'm wondering if that has any...
Do you feel anything? Everything? Are you having orgasms? Are you having like a clitoral orgasm? Are you getting aroused, turned on, all those things?
Yeah, everything else except for that. I mean, because comparing to the clitoral...
Did you have a G-spot orgasm previously when you were having intercourse with your husband? Or was it just you could have it was it a certain position?
Only with my ex-husband, and it was like in every position, like from missionary and anything. So it was amazing. Like I never seen anything like it. I was wondering if it has to do with that, or does it have to do with the fact that he has this perfect shape?
No, it does not have. Luckily, it does not have to do with a perfect shaped penis. I feel like you're probably putting a lot of pressure on yourself to find it. And a lot of times with sex, when we spend too much time in our heads and you're like, I didn't find it last time. We spent all Labor Day weekend looking for it. We still haven't found it. And then you start having sex. You're like, we're not going to find it. You know what I mean? So it's, I feel like a lot of it is just like letting go of like this mad dash to find it again. Cause I don't even think that it's gone. I think that if you can, in the moment, like really without that goal oriented, you know, mindset of like we've got to find it now, kind of get back to just the entire sexual experience. Because when we start to isolate things, like first we're gonna have this orgasm, then we're gonna have this orgasm, it can feel very like you're not even getting to enjoy the entire experience of sex, which is like a dance, and every time you get to create something different. So I feel like maybe take the G-spot looking off the table for a little bit, and just kind of like, what if you have like a cervical orgasm? Like those are different kinds of orgasms. You, like there's a lot of different ways to feel sensations, and so I feel like the chances are it's still there again, but I think mm-hmm. it's still in your mind. Also, I really do. I don't think that that's going to be this isolated spot that just sort of numbed up and froze up and has fallen off. It's not possible. I don't think it's possible. Are you having clitoral orgasms? Because a lot of times,
Yes, I do. But if I have to choose between that, I would take G-spot any day. Like from my remembrance, it's like mind blowing. It's like, because with the clitoris sensation, I feel like it's just very intense and it's much more faster and fleeting.
Right. But do you ever have the clitoral orgasm and then look for the G-spot orgasm? Because that's the way you do it. Like it helps to have it. Yeah. So for many women, they have to have a clitoral orgasm first, knock that out. And then that whole area becomes engorged where the G-spot is. So it's easier to find and stimulate. And so I would just try to have a session where you have your G-spot, you have your clitoral, and then you could look for it there. You could also try a toy. I love the G-spot Rave by WeVibe is a great toy that's asymmetrically designed to hit your G-spot. Nothing wrong with playing around with it and finding it that way. So I would try that. I would do that. I would take the pressure off yourself. I promise you did not destroy your G-spot.
Okay.
Use lots of lube. I really think you will find it. It's just part of it. This is like a fun journey, you know?
I hope so. It was so easy before. It's okay.
Our bodies change. I hear this from women all the time. They're like, I used to be able to have orgasms. I used to get more turned on, or now I get more turned on than I used to. Our bodies are always changing because of hormones, arousal, how we get wet, all this stuff. So just embrace where you're at now. That was years ago. Mm-hmm. Let that go. However that G-spot felt with that penis, just kind of enter into a new G-spot zone right now. You're on a new G-spot journey, and we're with you here, Julie.
But you could see why I thought about the other one, just because it was such a hammock to my hormones that might have changed everything.
And you're 40. Yeah. Have you gotten your hormones checked? That's true. I mean, there might be something going on, but I don't think that's going to affect your G-spot. That can affect your libido, your desire, your wetness, all that stuff. But it's not going to affect the... I haven't looked at you. I'm not a doctor that I can examine you, so I don't want to say, but if you, you know, you could get checked out. But I think, you know... I think you should try some of these other things we talked about. Masturbating, clitoral orgasm, taking the pressure off you and getting a toy. Getting like the G-spot.
I would definitely do that. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. I got to hear when you find it. Okay, Julie, let me know.
I would do that. Thank you so much.
When you find it again. You're welcome. Have a great night. Thank you.
You too.
Bye. Thanks. Bye. I think we got to the bottom of that. I think she's going to find the G-spot. It's not that it's really gone. It's not that it's gone. It's like you got to the journey back to the G. I feel like we just have to accept the fact that our bodies are changing over time. And just because something felt great 15 years ago, 5 years ago, our bodies are shifting and changing and we have different partners. And so every time we're with someone, it's a great experience to kind of build something new and have a new experience. We're constantly living in our past sexual experiences. It's really hard to stay present and have a really quality sex experience. So if you find yourself tripping out for once was, it probably is not as great as you remember it. Let's be honest. We always put stuff on the pedestal. And just do your best to be present with what's happening now and work with that. I don't think that this particular case had to do with the birth control either. While the birth control pill is still being studied intensely and there's some not so great things about the pill, I think that there's no way that the pill would impact her ability to have a G-spot orgasm if she's having clitoral orgasms and she's getting turned on and aroused. That's it for today's episode. See you on Friday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast. And share this with a friend or a partner. Believe me, if you got something out of it, they will too. We release shows on Tuesdays and Fridays, and look out for a bonus episode every now and then. Find me on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all at Sex with Emily. And I've been told I give really good newsletters. So sign up at sexwithemily.com and don't forget to check out our blogs. If you want to talk to me, ask your questions about your sex life, dating, or relationships, email me feedback@sexwithemily.com or call into my SiriusXM show Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, and call me 888-94-STARS. That's 888-947-8277. Get a free 30-day trial at sexwithemily.com/SXM. You can watch my masterclass on masterclass.com/Emily Morse. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.